Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Well, I am furious, and I will never vote for anyone on the city council again. I would like to know, by the way, who voted for it and who voted against it.
That was Josephine in Manhattan reacting strongly to the city council vote to ban smoking in public parks, beaches, and some pedestrian plazas, including Times Square, Josephine calling our show yesterday, wanting to know who voted for the bill and who voted against it. Well, we've got two of the 12 representatives who voted against the ban. Democrat Robert Jackson, city council member representing West Harlem, parts of Washington Heights, Inwood, Central Harlem, and Morningside Heights, and Republican Daniel Halloran, city council member representing Northeast Queens, communities including College Point, Auburndale, Flushing, Bayside, Whitestone, Bay Terrace, Douglaston, Little Neck. Sounds like the whole Port Washington branch of the Long Island Railroad. Welcome back, both of you, to WNYC.
Thanks. Good morning, Brian.
So this is a strange bedfellows segment. Councilman Jackson, why did you and a coalition of others in the progressive wing of the city council vote against a non-smoking ban?
Well, first, let me just say that I see my colleague Dan Halloran. I don't look at him as a Republican. I look at him as a colleague, and I know that we have 51 members of the city council, and each one of us have their opinions about certain things. So I don't really see Republicans and Democrats in the city council. That's number one. Number two, I basically voted against the bill because, one, I was looking for a compromise bill, something more offered like Peter Vallone of an 80-20 type situation. And I just think that as a council, as a government, we're going too far in trying to control the lives of New Yorkers with all of the things that we're doing as far as the smoking ban, totally, and beaches and parks. And one example, and I know you go to Dan right away, is that if I smoke, in which I don't, Brian, and I'm walking through Central Park, I'll be violating the law. Or if I'm walking on a boardwalk at Coney Island and it's at night and there's no one there, I'll be breaking the law. Totally not what we want to do as far as I am concerned in the City Council of New York.
How about as a progressive public health measure from your point of view, that demographically people in your district in Upper Manhattan are more likely to smoke, more likely to get sick from smoking, and this is a measure that protects their health more than the people who live in Bayside and Auburndale?
Well, I do think that most adults know that smoking is not good for their health, just like they know that drinking is not good for your health. But I just think that we as a government are going too far in controlling the lives. And I think that that's where I'm drawing the line here. Because I said on the floor, Brian, and you may know this, I've run 3 New York City marathons. I've walked to Albany 150 miles, and I just came back from Tanzania, East Africa, climbing Mount Kilimanjaro. And I don't smoke, and no one in my immediate family smoke. But government is going too far, and that's where I'm drawing the line here. So I would say that I'm more concerned about the PCBs in the classroom that our young children are breathing in every single day, and that's a major issue. Major issue in the schools throughout New York City, in which Mayor Bloomberg is basically saying this is not at the same proportion as a smoking ban. I disagree with that.
Listeners, anybody want to make a case that you would consider the progressive case for opposing the smoking ban in parks, beaches, and pedestrian plazas? You could say that it's a traditionally more conservative or more libertarian position to say we don't want a nanny state telling us what to do in our individual lives, but it would be a more progressive position, as most of the city council has deemed it, to say, no, this is a public health measure. This is government doing the will of the people, protecting others from secondhand smoke. Is there a progressive argument? Because some of the progressive caucus members, like Robert Jackson, like Brad Lander, Jumaane Williams, a few of the others, were among the strongest dissenters. So is there a progressive argument, in your opinion, against this no smoking in the parks?
Well, look,
law,
you know, 212.
Let me go to Dan Haller in a second. But listeners, do you want to make that case? 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. And Councilman Halloran, are you just going to echo your colleagues?
What I was going to say is actually you have two problems with this. The first is, I think Rob correctly points out, there are more significant health concerns the council is not addressing, one of them being the PCBs in the schools, which Councilman Vince Ignazio of Staten Island brought to our attention last month at the council meeting, and still nothing has progressed on it, which is an enclosed environment and far more dangerous. And the second thing is the studies on secondhand smoke that we've been looking at, none of them indicate that there is any greater risk, health risk, in secondhand smoke in open spaces like parks than there is from the trucks and the cars on the roads in the city of New York. So unless we're being intellectually honest about this and we're going to start talking about banning the cars and trucks, this ban will actually not really accomplish very much, one. And number two, it's a slippery slope of arguments. You know, in 2002, when the original smoking bans were enhanced, the argument was put forward by the mayor's office that they would not go any further than this. This would not lead to other bans. Now it has. And I can see looming on the horizon even worse controls, where we'll be talking about the police state enforcing rules against households, against individual motorists, and there's no end to this. Look, I'm not saying smoking isn't bad. I don't smoke, but I'm not going to infringe on the taxpayers who do, and certainly we're hitting them hard. I mean, taxes on cigarettes are 10 times the value of the cigarettes themselves.
Let me just ask you about that analogy for a minute, or that scientific comparison. If the effects of secondhand smoke in a park are no worse than the emissions from cars, well, the emissions from cars in the city are generally very bad. So I could make the argument that, you can't ban cars from the road because that would just stop life. You can do the things that you can do, and you can ban secondhand smoke from any public places, including parks.
Well, no, I was not saying in specific, because actually the numbers are minuscule. The amount of secondhand smoke contamination in an open space is de minimis. It's almost just slightly above what's the ambient in the natural air. In other words, marginally noticeable in the ambient air. A far greater concern is the congestion pollution that we experience in general in the city of New York, and that is 100 times worse than the secondhand smoke in an open space.
Cliff in Manhattan has a progressive argument against this law. Hi, Cliff.
Hi, how are you doing?
Good, thanks for calling.
I'm worried about it more from a civil liberties point of view. I mean, who are going to be the enforcers of this law? I assume the police. This just gives, first of all, it seems ridiculous that we're going to use police resources to enforce this. But also, I'm worried that you'll wind up with selective enforcement. Mm-hmm. It gives police another excuse to approach people, question them, and I think, once again, it will disproportionately fall on young black men in the city.
Robert Jackson?
Yeah.
Councilman, what about that? You could imagine that, certainly.
Well, clearly that was raised, especially by our colleague Rosie Mendez. And I say to you, Brian, and the listeners, I co-chair the New York City's Council's Black Latino Nation Caucus, and that was raised as an issue in stopping young people and searching them, and possibly could lead to arrest. But under the bill, there were two compromises on the bill. One was the amount of fine. The amount of fine is $50, but it only can be enforced by the New York City Parks patrol officers. So the police in the parks are the only ones that can enforce this particular law, not the New York City Police Department. That's what the law says. Now, as you know, one thing is what the law says, and another thing is how it's implemented. But that's what it is. And this issue, as far as stopping young people, especially that may be smoking in a park or on the beach, was an issue raised for consideration.
All right. Now, you mentioned the police and the tickets. I want to play you, and Councilman Halloran will get your reaction to one of your fellow Queensites, Neil from Astoria, calling our show yesterday, determined, militant, and continuing to smoke in
public parks, Times Square. You can give me a ticket, I'm going to smoke. You can complain, I'm going to smoke. I love my cigarettes.
So Councilman Halloran, I guess you want to tell Neil first, give up your cigarettes.
I think Neil's got two problems. One is that obviously, you know, the law is the law. I don't like this law. I didn't support this law. I voted against this law. But it becomes the law of the land, and that's problem number one. I'm going to agree and disagree with my colleague, Councilman Jackson, in the sense that I don't believe that the police department will ever not enforce a law that's on the books, regardless of who's assigned the primary authority to enforce. And that will be something that maybe courts will kick at the arraignment part. You know, and I've been a criminal defense attorney. I've been a prosecutor. It may get kicked at the court level if it's an arrest or a summons issued by a police officer as opposed to a parks officer. But certainly, if there's a law on the books, the police will seek to enforce it, especially if it's collateral to other things that are going on. And I think there is a real danger of youths in particular being subject to this. And because it's an offense, the police will then be able to stop, frisk, do an inquiry. And that creates an interesting set of paradigms that I think is going to shock the progressives who voted for this bill, because they're going to see a corollary change in police behavior based on being able to use this as a predicate to open the door to inquiry.
So if I'm, you know, walking out into Crocheron Park there in Bayside with a cigarette dangling from my lips, walking down the hill there, mm-hmm. beautiful hill, and walking onto the ball fields, whatever, by the bay, am I at no risk of a cop coming up to me?
I don't think you are at no risk. I think there is a risk. While Parks Enforcement is certainly the primary agent, I cannot see that the police department is not going to enforce a statute.
And what was basically said by those that were in favor of the bill was that this is going to be the type of situation like the pooper scooper law where, you know, the general public will communicate, hey, you know, it's against the law to be smoking in the park. Can you please not smoke, what have you, and so forth. I just hope that as far as the implementation, that NYPD does not find that they're going to be now implementing this law when the law basically says, or as far as those that have pushed forward the law, that it's going to be the Park Enforcement Police. I think we need to see how this plays out over the next year and just monitor it to make sure that it's being done correctly.
Here is calling in Sheila Feinberg from the New York City Coalition for a Smoke-Free City. Sheila, thank you for calling in. Everybody's hating on this law here this morning.
There sure seems to be a lot of dissent for this law, but we are in support of this law. We just feel really strongly that all New Yorkers have the right to breathe clean air, and that's why we first of all support this law.
So in the middle of a park, it's really going to be a threat to my health if somebody lights up a cigarette?
Well, it is actually going to be a threat to your health. The U.S. Surgeon General said that there's no safe level of exposure to secondhand smoke. And that is where we come from on this bill.
But Sheila, as you well know, the statistical surveys show that in open air spaces, it's barely measurable above the ambient. That's a fact. And if you're really talking about the health of New Yorkers overall, we have PCBs in our schools, which are enclosed environments that need to be dealt with. We have emission issues across the five boroughs.
Right.
Clearly, there are much bigger, much more important, and much more impact-oriented environmental issues that could be tackled, rather than creating another piece of criminalization of behavior that is not illegal.
Okay, well, I'd just like to respond to that if I can, Brian.
Of course, that's
Thank
why
you.
You're here.
Okay, great. I would say that, that's definitely a concern. PCBs in our schools is definitely a concern, but we're here to talk about smoke-free parks and beaches, and even though we have a 15% smoking rate here in New York City, 1 million of our residents smoke, we have a higher level, non-smoking New Yorkers have a higher level of cotinine than the national average. And that is a byproduct of being around and a result of being around smokers and secondhand smoke. So we are above the national average. That is a health fact that we feel very confident with. that is of concern for us.
Hey, Brian, let me just weigh in on this.
Take a last word. And Sheila, thank you for calling, and then we're going to be out of time. Councilman Robert Jackson.
Sure. I just think that I asked Commissioner Fawley at the hearing, isn't it true that really what you really want is to ban smoking altogether in New York City? His response to me was no, just in beaches and parks. But the Peter Vallone bill, basically, if you had a beach and there were 10 sections, make section 1 smoking, make section 10 smoking. So you have 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, no smoking. That would have been a compromise. But I don't think that the people that moved this bill forward were willing to compromise. And that's why I say that we're moving towards, you know, a situation where the government is going to basically interfere in the lives of New Yorkers, and I'm not in favor of that.
Well, this bill has been passed by the City Council. Folks, in case you hadn't heard it, Mayor Bloomberg does say he's going to sign it, but we've been hearing some of the strange bedfellows from the dissenting 12. Democrat Robert Jackson from Upper Manhattan, Republican Daniel Halloran from Eastern Queens, thank you both so much for coming on.
Have a good one.
Thank you, Brian.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, coming up next. We will take a peek inside the new iPad-only publication from Rupert Murdoch called The Daily, which debuted this week. But first, go outside, because this law hasn't passed yet. If you're a smoker, light up one last cigarette in a public park somewhere and then give it up.
Cigarettes in an ashtray. My lover and I in a small cafe. Then a stranger came along, and everything went wrong. Now there's three cigarettes in the ashtray.